Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22, but I hear there's a storm coming down in the Gulf, a rainstorm, a tropical storm. A storm is brewing in the south, heading this way. It's supposed to bring lots of rain. But are you going through a storm? Am I going through a storm? We all go through storms of life. So we're going to look at this account here of a storm that the disciples went through, that Jesus put them into. The disciples were in the will of God. Jesus constrained them into the boat to go to the other side. They were in the will of God, but Jesus knew they needed a storm. He knew they needed a storm upon their lives, and so that's what we're going to look at here today. In Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I just want to preach a message here on verse 29. Come, walk on the water. The invitation is there to come, get out of the boat, and walk on the water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I again come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you use me here right now. I pray, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this account of you walking on the water, of Peter getting out of the boat and walking onto the water, and you invite us to come, walk on the water, Lord, I pray you'll use me here to speak your truths. And I pray that those listening will open their hearts to receive your truths of your word. And everything that's done will give you the glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Peter really walked on the water. He really did. And this miracle happened the same way every other miracle happened. By faith. By faith. You see, by faith, Peter walked on water. By faith, Peter got out of the boat. By faith, Peter walked on the water. But by faith, his faith failed when he looked around at his surroundings. His faith failed whenever he saw that the wind was boisterous. His faith failed when he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus. You see, any faith that is apart from Jesus Christ, any faith that has to deal with looking upon our outward circumstances will fail every time. We will sink every time. And you might ask yourself, why do we not see miracles like this today? Well, because we have our eyes off of the Lord and on the world. This world has inundated us so much that we do not have our eyes upon Jesus. You see, a sick person is not healed simply because it's an easy case. It's something easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to do. You know, God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He is not bound by a wind or a storm or by any circumstances. Whatever it is you're going through, He is not bound by that storm. You see, whether it's an easy case or not does not affect the Lord being able to do it, the Lord to be able to conquer it. He is all-powerful. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You see, the surroundings should not have affected Peter that day. The storm should not have affected Peter walking on the water that day. The wind, the waves, none of that should have affected Peter when he got out of the boat. He put his trust and his faith in Jesus Christ to get out of the boat. His faith should not have faltered by his surroundings that day. It is wrong to have faith on our circumstances. To have faith on our surroundings is not real faith. It's not biblical faith, and it's not the faith that Jesus talks about. In Hebrews 11:1, it tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith, you cannot see it, but we know it's there. In 11:6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, we must have faith, but not just faith in any old thing. You see, the world has faith in certain aspects and certain things. They place their faith, whether they're an atheist or a Christian. An atheist still has faith. They just have faith in the wrong thing. They have faith in something other than Jesus Christ. Where a Christian has faith, but our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, He shed His blood and died on that cross for the sin debt of the whole world. That is our faith. And now faith, it is impossible to please Him without faith. It's impossible to please Him. So how do we get faith? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible tells us. In Romans 10:17, He says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you got to be in church. You got to hear the Word of God preached. You got to hear the Word of God expounded on, read, preached, talked about. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the only place we can get real faith, is from the Word of God. The world cannot offer it. The world cannot give it. The devil cannot give it. The only place we can have faith is through the Word of God. Okay? And now our faith should be totally dependent upon God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what situations in life come up, no matter what storm you go through and I go through, our faith should be totally dependent upon God. Our salvation is totally dependent upon God. Our salvation is not feelings. Right? Feelings lie to us. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been born again. The Bible says that you are saved. Our salvation is not based on those feelings, because you could feel saved today and you could feel not saved tomorrow. You can feel lost today. You can feel saved tomorrow. Our feelings lie to us all the time. Our feelings lie to us. They keep us in bondage. They keep us in bitterness. They keep us in anger. And they keep us backslidden from the Lord. If a person's truly been born again, that person is saved because the Word of God says they're saved, and it doesn't matter about how we feel. Okay? We just need to put our dependence, our trust, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to do what He says. And that's us showing our faith, is when we hear the Word of God, whether it's preached or read or studied, you hear the Word of God and we just do it. We just live by it. We just obey it. You see, when Jesus said to Peter, come, Peter should have just got out of the boat like he did, and he should have just expected that Jesus was going to take care of him the rest of the way. He took that first step of faith by getting out of the boat. Nobody else got out of the boat, okay? But you and I, here today, if Jesus calls us to come, walk on the water, whatever it is, we just need to get out of the boat and start walking towards Him, keeping our eyes on Him. A couple months ago, the Lord called me to come walk on the water to Macon, Georgia, to be a pastor. And you know, I've never done that before. But over the last couple of years, I've been seeking the Lord's will and direction for my life on what to do, because I know the Lord wanted me to come and get out of the boat and walk on the water, and that's what He wanted me to do. And so now I just had to obey Him and let Him guide and lead me into the right place, into the right time, in His timing. And lo and behold, here we are. Here we are. Come, get out of the boat and walk on the water. So today I'm going to give you three events that took place in the midst of the sea. The Bible says they were in the midst of the sea when the storm came. All right, so I'm going to give you three events that happened. If you would, turn over to Mark chapter 6. We're going to pick this story up in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says that the disciples were in a ship crossing the sea when they encountered a dilemma. Number one is the dilemma. The dilemma is a storm. A storm is brewing, a storm is coming. And Mark here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, you find that? Mark chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away." Now that word constrained is a very strong, forceful word. It's a powerful word, and the Bible says that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. He forced them into the boat. He controlled them into the boat. Jesus knew the storm was coming, but he put them in that ship anyway, knowing the storm was coming. There was no room for debate. It wasn't an option. Those disciples were going to get in that boat, but did you notice what I read in that verse? And to go to the other side. You might want to underline that. That's a key point there. Because Jesus is putting them in the boat and he tells them, go to the other side. You don't have anything to worry about. Have faith. No matter what comes upon you, I'm telling you, you're going to the other side. Okay, you're going to the other side. You see, storms can come in the will of God. Even though you're in the will of God, storms will come. Storms are coming for Gilead Baptist Church. Storms are coming for you and I. Even though we are in the will of God, storms will come. And the Bible tells us that they rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs, which is about halfway across the sea there. And then all of a sudden, they're in the midst of the sea, and a storm comes. The wind becomes contrary. And so if you've ever been out on a lake or the sea, and the storm comes up, the storm can blow up pretty quick. And the next thing you know, you're not getting anywhere. These guys, they're trying to row, and their sails aren't working, their rows aren't working. They're basically stuck in the middle of the sea while the storm's moving them around. They're not getting anywhere. In verse 47 there, in Mark 6, 47, it says, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land," which was Jesus. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." Now that sea is only about 7 to 8 miles wide at its widest peak. So in about 8 or 9 hours they had been out there, they'd only made it halfway across. They'd only made it about 3.5 to 4 miles or so across. But let me tell you that these guys were experienced fishermen. This wasn't their first time on the sea. They knew what they were doing. They knew what the sea was capable of. They were professional fishermen. And they had been out there numerous times, but now all of a sudden, they're fearful for their lives. They're fearful of their lives here. They're very hard of the Sea of Galilee. The winds are rolling, the waves are rolling. And can you imagine the dilemma? Can you imagine the dilemma, the tiredness? We didn't read it, but prior to this, in the same day, Jesus had fed the 5,000 men. That's what was going on in earlier in that day. And Jesus fed 5,000 men. It was a busy day. They're tired. The disciples thought, hey, they're just going to get on this boat and go to the other side and get some sleep. But no, Jesus had other plans. There's a storm coming upon them. Right? We have plans in our life. We have our life planned out a lot of the times. And this, and this. But what happens when the storm comes in our life? What happens when something throws us off? Eyes straight on Jesus? Are we focused on Jesus? We get to thinking, well, what? I'm in such a dilemma now. Right? We get a scare. We get fearful. We start questioning God. You know, why God? Why did this happen? Do you not care about me? Why does God allow this in my life? Remember what I said. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Remember, he constrained them into the boat to go to the other side, and they were just following directions. They are going across the sea when all of a sudden a storm comes up. This is a picture of the Christian life, isn't it? A picture of the Christian journey. You know, our life is full speed ahead and storms come, the dilemmas come, the storms come. And a lot of times it seems like we're just stuck out there in the middle of the lake. Doesn't it? We're just stuck out there in the middle of the sea. And it seems like we're rowing and the wind's blowing us this way and we're rowing this way. And we're just not getting anywhere. We're just kind of stuck. Right? Just kind of stuck in the halftime, right? Also known as halftime. Well, in halftime, do you quit at halftime? Or do you regroup at halftime? You regroup. You don't quit unless you're the Atlanta Falcons a couple years ago, right? Right? If I remember right, the Atlanta Falcons were up very much on the New England Patriots. And at halftime, they never came back and they ended up losing. Right? I remember the Cubs in 2016 in the World Series. They were down 3-1. They ended up coming back and winning 4-3 over the Cleveland Indians that year. Hey, halftime isn't quitting time. Halftime is time to regroup. Hey, my life is not over. I've gone too far to turn back. Right? I got to keep moving. I got to keep pressing forward. We've all struggled, right? We've all struggled. We've all been there. We've all been stuck. We've all had storms in our life. But what do? Hey, we just keep pressing on. We just keep pressing on. We don't quit. God is still God. God is still good, even at halftime. And you know what? Sometimes He's just waiting to show up at the right time. He was up on a mountain praying, watching the disciples, waiting for the right time to come to their aid. You know, see, when those storms come, sometimes we just got to wait. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, the Bible says, "And therefore will the Lord wait." Right? The Lord is going to wait. He says, "So that He may be gracious unto you." The Lord has a blessing. The Lord has a reason. He has a purpose for constraining us in the boat and for us going to the other side. And for us going through that storm, there's a reason. But sometimes, Psalm 27:14 just says, wait on the Lord. We just got to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes we get in too big of a hurry. We get in too big of a hurry, and I was the same way. Within this last year, I was like, Lord, I know You want me to do something, and I'm ready to jump from it. What? And it's like, He kept reminding me, don't get ahead of me. Slow down. Wait. You know, it's like, okay, so then you got to step back and you just got to wait, right? You got to wait. Because I didn't want to make the wrong decision. I wanted to make sure it was the right decision. And I knew without a doubt that was where the Lord was leading us. And so I didn't want to jump. So you have to like, okay, Lord. But it's hard, isn't it? In the flesh and in this human life, it's hard to wait because especially we men, we just want to go and do it and break it, right? Not fix it. We usually break it first and then we'll fix it, right? But hey, sometimes we just got to wait. Because here's the thing. God knows the perfect time. He knows the perfect timing to come. And He knows in what watch of the night to come. Even though life that we live, there's going to be storms. They're going to come. There is no painless way to follow the Lord. There is no painless way to be a Christian. There's really no painless way to live life. Right? All human life in general is going to have storms. And these storms come usually for one of two reasons. Number one, the devil is working. The devil knows his time is short. The devil knows his time is about run up, is about over. It's about ran up. He's about done. So the devil's doing all he can to deceive people. Yea, hath God said, back in Genesis chapter 3, and He's still doing it today. He's trying to deceive people and keep people lost and on their way to hell. But you know what else? I know one greater than the devil, and that's Jesus. He's still working. He's working in our lives, and He conforms us into His image. And we know that all things work together for good to them that who are the called, for them who love God and are the called according to His will. Everything works out according to His will. His will, not our will. And just remember, when these storms came to the disciples, Christ had constrained them into the boat. They weren't getting out of the boat. They were going into the storm. He ordered them into that boat, but He told them they're going to the other side. So no matter what storm comes up, they were not going to perish in the midst of the sea. They were not going to perish out there in that storm, and they were not going to lose their lives for one reason. One reason only, and that's because Jesus told them they were going to the other side. Now, the Lord constrains us in many ways to go through storms. And what do we? A lot of times, as humans in our flesh, we complain. The first thing we do is we pray the Lord to take this storm away from us. Lord, take this storm away from us. Now, this isn't my comfort zone. This isn't what I had planned. This isn't what I thought my life would be like. We cry. We have a pity party like Elijah did. We say, it's too hard. I can't do this anymore. We quit. We don't want to do it. We're just ready to throw in the towel like the Atlanta Falcons did. Instead of just learning what God has for us, instead of just going through the storm, watch and pray, keeping our eyes on the Lord, and going through the storm, whatever it takes, we know that God will provide. God will take care of us. And it may be that He's just waiting to show us something so that He could be gracious unto us. Patiently, we must wait on Him. In Job 14:1, it says this. It says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know that. That's kind of what I was getting at. We're full of trouble. Few days full of trouble. There is always trouble in our lives. But sometimes we just need to go through that storm. He wants to grow us. He wants to make us more like Him. And whatever that storm is, He's going to refine us. I mean, I think of Job there. You know, Job had the storm of life come upon him. He lost 10 kids, his health, everything he owned, he lost. You know, but in all of that, what did he do? He worshiped the Lord. He fell down, rent his mantle, he worshiped the Lord. He didn't curse the Lord. He continued to worship the Lord. And at the end of the book there, God blessed him with double. Because he stayed faithful. All I'm saying is there was a dilemma. In the midst of the sea, there was a dilemma. The storm came upon these disciples after they were constrained in the boat. But number two, I want you to see here is the darkness. The darkness. In the midst of the sea, it gets dark. In the midst of the storm, it gets dark. And the darkest part of the night, Jesus came to them. Look there at Mark 6:48 says, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Jesus chose the time to come. This whole night, He's over there watching them. He's praying for them. He's letting them struggle a little bit, letting the storm kind of refine them and see what happens with them. But He knew when the perfect time was to come. God is always on time, isn't He? On time, every time. God is good. The Bible says that these disciples had rowed, and they rowed, and they rowed, and they rowed some more. And no doubt, they were tired. They had a long day. They were weary, they were tired, and it wasn't until the fourth watch of the night that Jesus came to them. That fourth watch of the night is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you can see they had been out there 8 to 9 hours at least, all the while on the midst of that sea. You see, the Christian life is going to be dark at times. We're going to feel defeated at times. But I want you to know some of the greatest things that God ever did was in the dark. Jesus was born in the dark. He was born in the dark. And he died on the cross. When He died on the cross, there was darkness upon the earth. You see, God is the God of the day, but He's also the God of the night. And when it is dark and you're confused, and there's a dilemma, and there's complete darkness, and we just don't know what to do, just remember, Jesus is there. He is right there in Matthew 28:20. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. We can't see Him. His disciples can't see Him. And there in verse 48 says He saw them. He saw them in their struggle and everything they were going through. Jesus doesn't let us out of our sight. He sees us even though we can't see Him by faith. By faith. There's that faith in Him. We got to trust His Word. And His Word says He would never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus that night was on that mountain. He was praying for them. And He knew every thought that was on their mind. He knew every emotion they were feeling. He knew every fear that filled their minds. And He knew every wave that hit the boats, every wind that blew against them. He knew everything. He knew it all because He saw it all. Every storm that we're going through, every trial, every illness, every whatever it is that comes upon us, Jesus sees it all. He knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings. He knows our minds. He knows it all. And it wasn't until the fourth watch of the night that Jesus came to them. 3 to 6 a.m. They were out there quite a while. And then when He came, He went walking on the sea towards them. Again, the dilemma, the darkness, the fear, the exhaustion that these men had felt and had gone through for such a long day that they had been out there already. They had been out on the sea all night. And Jesus comes by, and the Bible says that He would have passed by them. Let's pick this up back over in Matthew chapter 14 and look at verse 26. They're in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26. Matthew 14, verse 26 says, And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Jesus finally comes to them. He's walking on the water, and they thought He was a ghost. They were fearful. They did not recognize Him. All they saw that whole time that they were out there was themselves. For 4 miles of rowing, all they saw was themselves. All they saw was their dilemma. All they saw was the darkness. All they saw was how tired they were. All they saw was their faults and their failures and their fear. All they saw was themselves. And now Jesus comes out, walking out to them, their Savior, their Protector, and they don't even recognize Him. They see Him. They don't recognize Him. Hey, listen, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes back on the Lord. Get our eyes off of our own faults, our own tiredness, our own weariness, our own dilemma, our own darkness, and just get our eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they were fearful. Why were they fearful? Their Savior was coming to them. They were fearful because they were only concerned was for themselves. Just like many people today, even Christians, are fearful of getting too close to Jesus. Fearful of the presence of Jesus because Jesus might want something from me. Jesus might want me to give up something. I can't get too close to Jesus because, you know, He might want me to do something. He might want me to go somewhere. So I got to keep my distance. Fearful of that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the devil. The devil wants us to live our lives in fear. The devil wants us to be trapped in fear and not ever do anything. Lock ourselves up in our safe place and never come out of our house in fear. That's from the devil. That's not from God. Jesus comes to them and He says, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What a glorious promise. Be not afraid. It is I. He's saying, hey, it's not only I, me. It's not only the Savior. It's not only your friend. It's not only me, Jesus. Hey, it's the great I Am. It's God the Creator. It's God your Creator. It's the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? But look at this here now. We get into verse 28. Jesus comes out, and look at verse 28 there. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." Hey, Jesus did not command any of them to get out of the boat. He didn't command Peter to get out of the boat. Peter said, if that's You, Lord, I want to come to You. I want to see You. I want to be with You. I want to give You a big hug. I want to come where You are. And Jesus just said, hey, look at there at verse 29. He says, and He said, come. Come. The invitation is there. He's not going to make us get out of the boat. He's not going to make us. But the invitation is there. He invites us. He invited Peter. He said, come. And Peter, he just got out of the boat. I don't think he even thought about it. He just lifted his feet over that boat, and he got out of the boat, and he just started walking on the water, right to Jesus. But the key thing is that whole time he had his eyes on Jesus. He had his eyes on Jesus, and that whole night that storm was beating them up. It was destroying the disciples, beating them up, and their fearfulness and everything. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, and Peter, ready to go, gets out of the boat. He's ready to go. But all the while, he's looking at Jesus. Look there at verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That fear came back. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That boisterous wind, the boisterous waves, I don't know, maybe it hit Peter in the leg. It distracted him, whatever the case is it got his eyes off of Jesus. Got his eyes off of Jesus. And when that storm of life comes upon us, what's the first thing we are likely to do? We jerk our head. And when we jerk our head away, our eyes get removed off of Jesus. Our eyes get removed onto our issue, our circumstance, our problem, our feelings, right? We looking upon ourselves, and when we do that, that's when that fear sets in. That's when that fear sets in, because we can't walk on the water. We can't solve our health issues, our medical issues, our problems, our trials. We can't solve them. Only Jesus can solve those. But Peter looked at the waves and he started to sink. He doubted. He doubted. But I want you to see this. He didn't doubt Jesus. He didn't doubt Jesus. His doubt was in the storm. He turns to Jesus. When he begins to sink, what does it say? He was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He did not turn to those guys in the boat. Those were his buddies. He didn't turn to them and say, hey guys, throw me a life vest. Hey guys, are you going to just leave me hanging here? He didn't say that. He turned to the only one that could save him. The only one that could save him. Lord, save me. He turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that can save him. So his doubt wasn't in the Lord. His doubt was in the storm. He turned to Jesus and he immediately cries out, Lord, save me. And the Lord pulls him up from the sea and brings him on board. In Matthew 14:31, the account reads that, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. Uh-oh. He says Peter has little faith. But isn't Peter the only one that got out of the boat? Uh-oh. He says Peter has little faith, but Peter actually got out of the boat. What would he say about those guys still in the boat? What about those guys that are still in the boat? What would Jesus say about you and I? What would He say about our faith? Maybe it's time each one of us just got out of the boat. Maybe it's time we just got out of the boat and we just surrendered to the Lord and just started to walk on the water. Maybe it's time we put our faith into action. You see, Peter wasn't talented enough to walk on the water. Peter could not walk on the water. He could not. The only way he could do that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way he could do that. And now, with you and I here today, the Lord constrains us. He puts us in a ship. He puts us in a boat to go to the other side. And He knows that those storms are coming, but those storms are designed to build our faith. Those storms are designed to increase our faith. Those storms are designed to make us more like Him. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. It said you're either going into a storm, going through a storm, or coming out of a storm. Right? Storms are going to happen. But maybe you're in a storm tonight and you're like, I've been in the storm for a long time. I've been dealing with this for a long time, preacher. Well, maybe we can look at this account and see what watch of the night we're in. Maybe you're in the fourth watch of the night. Maybe the Lord's just about ready to come to you. You see, He doesn't leave us abandoned. He doesn't leave us stuck out in the midst of the sea all by ourselves, never to come to us. Remember, sometimes we just have to wait patiently. We just have to stay faithful. We just have to continue to do what He wants us to do, like the disciples did. Stay faithful. But just as surely as those storms come, the Savior will come as well. The Savior will come, and everything that is bothering us, that has got us captivated, when Jesus comes, He will have under His feet. He will be walking on those. Everything that scared these disciples, Jesus has already conquered. Everything that has us fearful, Jesus has already conquered. But the devil likes to whisper in our ear too many times, doesn't he? He wants to get us sidetracked, and he likes to blind us to the goodness of God. Why is that? Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The devil whispers in our ear, if God really loved you, why would He allow this to happen to you? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 35. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, listen, whatever storm is going on in your life, whatever trial is going on in your life, whatever it is that has you ailing today, nothing can separate you from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not even a storm coming into your life. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, listen, He gives us over and over and over again, He talks about His love. But you got to be born again. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross. He shed His blood. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And by faith, the Bible says, by faith, when you put your trust in Him for salvation, you put your trust and faith in what Jesus did, He saves you. He'll take you to heaven, forgive you of your sins, and He gives you these glorious promises that no matter what storm comes in your life, He's always going to be there. No matter how dark it is, He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. Now, lastly here I have, thirdly, we have the destination. All right, if you would, turn over to John chapter 6. We'll pick this up here and we'll be about finished. John chapter 6. In verse 20, we have here the destination. We have the dilemma, the darkness, and thirdly, the destination. In John chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, but He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And get this. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately the ship was at the other side. They're in the midst of the sea. A storm comes. And Jesus shows up. He gets in the boat and immediately they're at the other side. Hey, when the Lord arrives, when the Lord shows up, that's all we need. He's all we need. When He shows up at the perfect time, at His time, not in our time, but when He shows up, we're at the other side. When you've done all you can do, and Jesus gets in the boat, immediately these disciples were on the other side. And it was calm. It was still. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 51, it says, "And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased." The wind ceased. The storm was gone. The storm was gone. They're at the other side. They're through the storm. They're all together again. But then the Bible says this there in Mark 6, 51. It says, "And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder." You see, they should have been sore amazed this day because it was an amazing day. They had already witnessed Jesus feed 5,000 men. It was a busy day, but they shouldn't have been so sore amazed. But we see here that not only was the storm stilled, but they safely reached their destination. They had found peace in the midst of the storm, but only that peace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Point is this: nothing is too strong, nothing is too powerful for Jesus to conquer. He has conquered everything, and when He comes, all is well. In Psalm 46:10, He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just need to be still. Even in the midst of that storm, even though it's hard and it's difficult, whatever that storm is, sometimes we just need to be still and let God do what He does. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus is all we know, all we need. We need to remember that Jesus allowed this storm. He went to them not until the fourth watch of the night. He didn't go to them right away. But when He went to him, the winds died and they were at the other side. And maybe we just need to get out of the boat. You want to just get out of the boat? Let's just get out of the boat. Start walking on the water. I mean, hey, let's get Jesus in the boat. Let's get Him in the boat, right? This is why we're here. It's because of Jesus. Whatever was going to happen, Jesus told them they were going to the other side. They were not going to die in the midst of that storm. They were not going to drown. They were not going to perish because Jesus told them they were going to the other side. We can't lose faith. We can't get our eyes distracted on other things. We've got to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Keep faith on Him, His righteousness, His power. None of it can be done in our power, in our strength. And when Jesus came, all the issues were under His feet. He had conquered them all when He rose from the dead victorious. So let me ask you, are you going through a storm today? We all are, right? We're all going through a storm. Can I just encourage you that He is going to come in His time. Whatever that storm is, He's going to come in His perfect time. But what we need to do is be faithful. We need to continue to be faithful. We need to continue to keep our eyes on Him. And when He comes, all will be calm. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you going through a storm? Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Let's pray.